Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like we're having technical difficulties already. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, and my name is Nikki Heyman. Somebody else is, I hope, is controlling the switchboard tonight. Panel, please introduce yourselves.
This is Jason Block of the North American Wrestling Connection and GameshowNewsNet.com. I had the wonderful chance to interview Michelle Lowenstein this week, who won $1 million on Wheel of Fortune. Check it out there.
Who else we got?
My name. Hi, it's fourth, and I hope it's Cyber Sunday. No unbiased referees make any messes of the main events.
Yeah, right.
I am VRM, and I am hoping that tomorrow night Tampa doesn't blow a 7-0 lead in the seventh inning with 7 outs to go to allow the Red Sox back into the World Series picture.
Oh, please. I know that as a New York Yankees fan from 04. God help us.
Yes.
And tonight, as your host, I managed to do in the span of 72 hours, have a verbal handshake with Rob Van Dam and receive some high praise from Jimmy Wang Yang. I'll talk about that later on in the show. Let's get on with it, as Seidelman is giving me orders through the AIM. Let's start with Raw. What do you guys think of the show?
Wait, don't we have pick'em results?
Seidelman's got all that. Let me see what he can. I'll have him put that together for me. Get me the pick'ems.
I don't have them handy.
Somebody figure out how to get Seidelman on the damn show.
Well, flying by the seat of your pants, folks.
I need more than 10 minutes notice on stuff like this.
Rob, try to Skype in if you can hear me.
And his response to that was, oh, okay. You guys want to do the pick-ems while he's getting me all this crap, or do you want to go run through Raw while he's posting all this to my IM?
We can do Raw first. Raw this week was pretty interesting. Let me just pull up the Raw results. There were a couple of things that were really good, and there was just one thing this week that was either really, really bad. I mean, I have to disagree with Mike Johnson, because Mike Johnson on PW Insider claimed that the Johnny Knoxville, Kali, Hornswoggle, Boogeyman, Naked People almost angle was the most embarrassing moment on Raw this year. Close. I would give it more to when John Boobs Layfield attempted murder charge on John Cena at the end of Raw, if you remember correctly. And then 2 days later, John Cena looks as healthy and young as ever. So, no. I mean, it was bad. That was bad. But
you know what's sadder, though? What's perpetuating that legend now is the fact that John Cena walked out of the freaking hospital hours after his neck surgery. As I've shown in the video packages, I was at Raw, and I was in SmackDown ECW in Pittsburgh when he walked in the door. And all the word was going around, hey, he's in the building. I'm looking at the guys going, bullshit. There's no way that man could be here. He should be still laying groggy and staring at the ceiling, wondering if anybody can see him.
Okay, so
apparently, but I'm saying, you know, if he walked out of the hospital after neck surgery, I'd almost believe that JBL hit him with a car and he lived.
Yeah, but that was pretty bad. So it opens up with Jericho talking to Mike Adamley, saying that Mike didn't keep up his bargain, and Chris is going over Adamley's head to Shane and Stephanie, and Adamley's like, I don't care. And you want to know something? I think Adamley has been doing a damn good job recently as GM. He's grown into the role. He really has. So basically we have a Jericho interview basically saying that he has to face Batista in 2 weeks, and that he says every choice is flawed, Orton's irrelevant, Shawn Michaels, and then Steve Austin, and then basically Shawn Michaels says, and in the line of the night after going into it with Jericho, says, Shawn Michaels says, I'm going to do to you what John McCain and Barack Obama want to do to each other and beat the hell out of Jericho. Oh, and of course, there was going to be the opponent's choices match, and Jericho picked Batista's opponent to be Shawn Michaels. And then, again, Rey Mysterio does the job for Matt Hardy. Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy with Kane and Mark Henry. Again, that was a decent match. It wasn't, it wasn't that bad. It was okay. Thoughts?
Let's see. Well, I don't know what we're supposed to do from here, because Kane's now, unfortunately, hit the skip on his CD about how Rey is hiding behind a mask. We're not going to get the payoff of Rey taking that mask off. I just can't see it. So whatever stiffs they end up picking for the grudge match, it's still going to be a fun match, but what are we fighting for now?
Exactly. Before that, and of course, Bradshaw comes out, and in a brilliant moment, says that, the banks are failed, he's going to lose, no one's going to lose his house, and my friends Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi are going to bail me out, which is very interesting since he was a conservative Republican for all this time. And then he says, the rich is going to be taken care of. He says, Bradshaw says, he's an American, a real American, and boy, that was about as much of a clue as an anvil dropping over your head. The Hulk Hogan's music comes out, and it's Hoss Hogan, thank goodness.
Oh, and it was brilliant. It was so brilliant. It was so absolutely brilliant. That's the stand-up and worship your television moment.
Now, think of it, though, this way. I just realized this right now, and maybe because I'm an old fart at 40, I just realized this. Don't you think there was a big F-U from Vince to Hulk on his new wrestling program that's debuting this weekend? Think about
it. Yeah, I think this was a great big kiss my ass to say, your show's not going to do anything. Nobody watches country music television. And you have Eric Bischoff who's helping you out. How successful is he?
I think that's exactly what that was.
I heard somebody else in the panel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't even get country music television up here.
So, let's see. The Hoss Hogan, that was just beautiful.
And unlike Hogan in real life, Hoss just the job.
Whoa.
No, that's the rest of the FU.
Yes.
I can't wait for Hossamania versus Brayden Mania at WrestleMania 25.
Okay, and
I'm so loud.
Okay.
Sorry.
basically, Randy Orton does a promo. What? Randy Orton does a promo. Who cares? He's not working, so he just talks. Okay.
Doesn't work anyway.
I can do all his promos. I am the best former world champion today. Shut your mouth.
Hello. Very good. And of course, Jericho appears on the Shawn Michaels match and says it's going to be a lumberjack bag. And you notice they got every freaking heel out of the locker room.
All the raw ECW heels.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Regal's still in his wellness singlet.
Yes.
No. Mae Young's bathing suit.
Yeah.
Hey, now, can I get a word in edgewise? Oh, hey.
Hey, it's Mr. Seidelman.
I've been trying to talk for about 2 minutes, and I can't get over you guys. Anyways, my whole phone. Anyways,
My home phones are doing something wonky. I have only about 5 minutes left on my cell, so I'm going to say this. I'm going to continue to try to keep on getting on my home phones. The likelihood of that is probably slim, but I don't care.
Just download Skype.
I'm still going to try to get through. Huh?
Just get Skype. That's how I do it.
I don't want to pay.
You should just get a wall outlet. You can plug your phone in and talk at the same time. Or a Bluetooth.
Yeah, but I have Comcast Digital Voice.
Okay.
So I have to go through this.
Okay.
Anyway. And plus, the phone that I was trying to call into is plugged into the wall.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep on doing what you're doing, Nikki. I sent you the Pick'em results.
I got them.
And I'm going to keep on trying. So until I get back, Nikki's in charge.
Oh, we're in trouble now. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. See you guys later.
This is the first time in a long time a Heyman hasn't been in charge of anything, but that's beside
the point.
Hey! Low blow!
I wish I had the board so I could play I could play that angle wave real quick.
Secure your boobs!
Thank you.
Basically, the Batista-Michaels match, I was watching the match and I just realized they felt like a couple of seconds out of sync. It wasn't as good as the other matches that have been there before. It felt off for some reason. You know? Do you agree or disagree?
I agree to a point because I was more interested in the fact that we've got two stories going at once here. Jericho's trying to get Batista or Michaels hurt. This is a face-to-face match for all intents and purposes. Trying to get one or the other, if not both, hurt. And the announcers might have even touched on it at the very beginning of the match, but this was kind of a blow-off to the whole Ric Flair storyline back around WrestleMania.
Exactly. And I was wondering if they were going to mention that, and they really didn't. Not much.
Not much. They touched on it, and when the match was over, they shook hands, and we got closure, granted, to a feud that happened 6 months ago, but I did really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly, because WWE usually doesn't deal with history well. Here it is. Then we get to just one of the worst segments this year.
Would you like me to do this, or it sounds like it's making you physically ill.
You know what, Nikki? I need to grab a drink, so, go for it.
Get something really strong, because this is going to take a minute.
Go for it. I'm
Thank
drinking
you.
Iced tea. I had a cup of coffee. I think I might go for a second. So I'm going.
There you go. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, this is how you tap dance on the schmoz button. Santino and Beth Phoenix come out and brag, of course, about the Intercontinental Championship. Santino brings up the honk-o-meter.
Ding!
And enjoys the fact that he's been champion for 9 weeks. In 1 year's time, I will be weeks away from the greatest IC champion of all the time. You can vote for me to face the Hunky Tonky Man or two cross-dressers. So we're on to a beautiful start. And then for some reason, he sees Johnny Knoxville.
Now,
I should ignore Johnny Knoxville. Anybody could ignore Johnny Knoxville.
Agreed. And by the way, just for one thing, I think Santino Marella has got to be one of the sports entertainment MVPs this year, without question. He is just comedy gold.
Absolutely.
For a guy with limited wrestling skills, he's a funny son of a bitch. He just really is.
It falls under those who can't do teach.
Yes, those who can't wrestle either announce or do what Santino Marella does. I'm sorry, Nikki. Go on.
No, that's fine. Somewhere Matt Stryker just sneezed. They get Knoxville up in the ring, and there was some talk about Knoxville just trying to ask Kali an innocent question about what kind of collar locker he's got. And he looks at Santino and Beth and says, "I'm sure you guys get asked about that all the time." Which of course Beth takes umbrage, literally. Beth slaps him. throws and slams him, but he knows
in
something.
The,
about
in
him.
The,
I think he should have thrown him a lot harder.
In the worst body slam I've seen in a while, by the way.
I'll blame Knoxville mostly for that. The
yeah,
two
one
of them
word. One word. Botch.
Oh, big time. Matthew of YouTube, are you listening? This better be on your next video. So while Knoxville is kind of selling that, he gets a hornswoggle dropped on him.
Where did he come from in the beginning? They don't say under the ring. What was he even doing there?
There was no point.
There was no point. This is why I call it tap dancing on the schmoz button. This falls in, also falls under the rule of funny. It doesn't matter. That was funny. So Knoxville got run over by a midget. Knoxville's buddy comes in the ring. He's like, "Hey, I want to get flattened by a midget too." But it said Big Dick Johnson.
That
he starts
when,
dancing. He starts. Go ahead.
That's when the train fell off the track right there. Okay.
Exactly. But this is one where you stop and you slap your forehead. Big Dick Johnson strips and dances. Johnny Knoxville's buddy says, "Hey, I can do that." He strips and dances, and he was wearing a Chippendale collar. I almost turned it off right then and there.
Now, by the way, Chris Pontius on Jackass does this all the time. That's why he's called Party Boy, for those who don't really watch that crap. So.
And then the train explodes into a ball of flames.
Flames and red smoke and worms.
Right. Exactly.
So we get that all taken care of. Boogeyman decides to make his annual appearance. I was expecting him for the ECW right before Halloween or the SmackDown that will air on Halloween night. So you're a couple weeks early, bud, but I hope you're healthy.
This is his comeback. This is his comeback, I think.
Yeah, they've been running vignettes on ECW. We will get to that. So Knoxville and his buddy have been completely humiliated. Somehow Knoxville gets his hands on a mic. He says, "I'm all right. Really, I'm fine. I've taken worse."
And then the nuke goes off.
The great Khali, as you know, comes out and basically does a. Well, no. He doesn't do anything except Johnny Knoxville ignores the one rule: never poke the bear. Because in this case, the elephant. Yeah, because he or the giraffe because he's that tall.
Yeah, it's true.
He made the infamous universal signal for small penis, and once he did that, Khali kicked the crap out of him.
Much to the delight of the crowd, which leads to the matter antimatter explosion. Oh my God, Khali's turning face.
Yes. Except at least in this particular case, but he didn't do it. Well, you know what though? He in SmackDown he might have.
Which is SmackDown.
Because you know what he did in a way, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, that segment was just fucking awful. I mean, it was just brutally bad.
This will have a Goku nomination.
The only funny part was that three of the people. The little bastard, Boogeyman, and Khali were in that DX segment during the writer's strike. So in a way, DX reunited to beat them up. Otherwise, it was
just brutally bad.
And that's why, for this particular evening, Hunter stayed in the truck and Michael stayed busy. Let's see, where are we from here? Ah, yes. A very entertaining six-person tag match. Mm-hmm. Introduced by dear Miz and Morrison and their lovely songbird, Jillian Hall.
Oh, God. Yes, she's about as white as... She's about... Someone has a...
What? Who's blowing me?
It's like the Undertaker came in and shut the lights down. Next thing you know, one of us has been chokeslammed.
And when the lights come up, somebody's gone, and somewhere on a monitor you see that person being choked out by the Undertaker. Lights go back out again, and he teleports back to our area and grabs somebody else and beats the shit out of them.
In that case, somebody get Bob Orton on the line.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, but Crime Time and Kelly Kelly won. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, normally that's the point in the show that I turn on Monday Night Football, but then I saw that the Giants were somehow losing, so I turned it right back.
So let's see. Ah, yes. And just as quick as that, we're at the main event.
Which was Chris Jericho, and then Batista chose the opponent, and Batista chose A, CM Punk, which I called, and B, he was the guest special referee, which again was very funny, as you saw.
For two reasons. I find that for two reasons. Number one, I don't think, as mentioned by the commentators, he's never refereed before. And number two, he must have borrowed that shirt from John Cone because he was coming out of it all night.
He ripped the shirt. The shirt was ripped in the back. Gone.
Yeah, I know. Ripped in the back before he even hit the ring. He ripped the sleeves at some point during the match. He was tugging at the collar the whole time. I was just waiting for him to say, screw it, flex, and just rip the whole thing to shreds. Then I would have missed the end of the match. Wait a minute. I'm the only girl here. Nobody's going to get that. Anyway.
but I like the fact that Batista did the old, oh my God, something got in my eye deal.
And he did it kind of suddenly. He's like, ooh, ow, hang on a second.
Yeah, I lost my contact somewhere. And then he got Batista bombed, and then CM Punk got the win.
It still wasn't as funny as The Rock's. What?
One, two, it doesn't matter if The Rock counts to three.
Somebody, YouTube, send me that YouTube. I want to see this. That, I would have fallen off my couch if I'd seen him do that.
This was 1999, Bulldog versus Triple H.
Who versus Hunter with Rock as the ref?
Bulldog.
Okay. All right, before we go to ECW, Rob did send me the pick'ems.
So we're going to go through Bound for Glory, or we're just going to do a quick recap on that one?
This is pretty much going to be quick because I didn't see Bound for Glory.
I did not either.
So,
I saw it.
What did you say?
I saw it.
Quick thoughts?
It was good until the main event.
Fair enough.
The Rhino had the weakest score I've ever seen. This was the weakest little piss score I've ever seen in my life.
Was he goring one of the girls, though?
No.
Then shame on him. Oh, let me see. Steel Asylum.
Spot fest.
What's that?
Steel Asylum was a spot fest.
Well, of course it was. And Seidelman's the only one who actually got the right answer with Jay Lethal.
Let's see, get 2 points from that.
Yeah, six-way, everybody got that right. X Division title, I seem to be the only one who got that one right. Knockouts match, everybody wanted Kong, guess what? Actually, no, somebody wanted Roxy. But nobody wanted Taylor Wilde, and look what happened.
Well,
why?
That was dumb booking. Dumb booking.
I'm disappointed because Taylor Wilde has not set anybody's hair on fire for, you know, she's not doing anything to impress anybody. I don't hear much about her. People shrug their shoulders that she's champion. Roxy is crazy over right now. Everybody's afraid of Kong. What's the problem?
I mean, Kong, yeah, exactly.
Let's see, Monsters Ball. Jason, Typho, and I got that one correct. Let's see, Triple Threat, Styles, Cage, and Booker. Rob, Typho, and Forth got that one right. Jarrett versus Angle. Rob, VRM, Forth, and I got that one. Joe Sting, I'm the only one who got that one wrong because I'm the only one who thinks that some logical booking would have been nice in a main event.
But it's Russo. What do you expect?
Every now and again, a flash of inspiration. But he might have used that earlier in the show. So, the dust settles. Jason and VRM tied at the bottom with 3.
Yeah.
A 3-way tie with myself, Forth, and Typho with 4. So, in a measure of karmic revenge, ladies and gentlemen, our winner and new Fizzleweight champion can't even be here to accept his belt.
Wow.
So there, Mr. Seidelman. And I know I'm going to get an angry retort if he's listening. All right. Now, with the dust settled from that, a great big neener, neener, neener in his general direction.
Right. We go to ECW.
We go to ECW, which may have been light on wrestling, but it was quality.
Exactly. You don't... ECW, as I said before, is the best show on TV.
Win! Oh, I wonder if that win was for Seidelman saying, I won anyway, so there, or just for 100% true about ECW. But, yeah, the whole show was in itself a storyline.
It actually made sense. It was setting up the qualification matches for Cyber Sunday. And
yep.
Mark Henry was like, I don't care who they are. I'm going to destroy them. I deserve it.
Yeah, this is right. And, oh, by the way, Teddy may be a great face manager, but he doesn't have the firepower to stop Henry. So we got a beautiful, beautiful match. Then again, I will say that whenever I get to see Evan Bourne do anything. Evan Bourne could get in the ring and line dance, and I'd probably watch it. So let me pull up some results real quick.
I got it.
Thank you, sir.
Basically, hold on, I'm sorry. Hold on. I got the reviews.
No. I got it here.
Okay,
Evan Bourne, Chavo Guerrero, which I thought was an amazing match. I think I only saw one little goofy thing. They had a little timing issue with a corner Hurricane Rana. But I mean, they got to play for 15 minutes. What?
Yeah, exactly.
You're breaking my heart.
And then Evan Bourne won the match with a beautiful airborne at the end.
Well, that Shooting Star Press, I could watch 3 nights a week and never get tired of it. It's just too pretty. Then again, I've also had the honor of seeing it a few times in person, and it's even prettier live.
It was the match of the night, I think. I love the match. And I hope that Bourne goes farther than we think he will. I hope that he probably won't be a main event guy, but I hope he goes far.
I think you're gonna see Evan Bourne beat Matt Hardy if they do what I think they're going to do.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I really don't want to see Matt Hardy, Mark Henry again.
No, and the third one is Finlay, and I don't think we want to see that either. Finlay beat, who did he beat?
John Morrison, which
John
was a huge, which is a big, actually a pretty big surprise. We pretty much figured that. Go ahead.
You got two faces in there.
Right, which was pretty surprising to me. I figured it would be a face and two heels, because for all the love we have here for Evan Bourne, is it too soon to put him in a title match, or is this his test title match?
Could be. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to probably be a test match, but it's probably going to be a little bit like with Jeff Hardy. There's going to be a lot of close moments. But otherwise, if he's in the match, I don't know if he's going to be the winner.
And I haven't seen ECW in the last few weeks because now I can focus on my meetings. So I'm not sure what to expect. I haven't seen Evan Dorn in weeks.
It's a great test for him. Personally, I would really like to see it. I think it would be a crazy close match. But I can't see them putting it on Bourne this soon. Because he's given us tons and tons of highlights. But we've been there, what, seven or 8 months?
Yeah.
So, if it happens, awesome. Absolutely awesome. That would be one night I would not mind being wrong.
Hell, they put the bell on Lesnar in 5 months.
There's a reason for that. Vince McMahon was walking even funnier for 5 months because of how much he liked Lesnar.
homoerotic fantasy. Sorry.
I just know that Vince has man crushes for men like that.
No, it's not. I mean, Vince McMahon is rumored to have been that way for a long time. So don't, that's not a, not the sexual reference thing. So.
No, I've been told that you guys like Lesnar is his fetish fuel. Come on. He'll hold up a muscle in fitness and let it fall completely open as quickly as he would a Playboy. But enough about his personal fantasy. Somebody talk to me about TNA.
I shall do that for you.
Thank you.
Basically, we reviewed Bound for Glory. We get an update on Abyss with basically saying he was released from the hospital after suffering some serious burns, which is true. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin defeat Sheik Abdul-Bashir and Sanjay Dutt with Sol Calvao.
The Jobber Guns win!
Whoa!
And then
Settlement, if you can hear me, I need a win sound like right now.
Okay.
I wish I could reach that button.
Oh, well.
The Undertaker ain't coming.
I know. It'll pop up in the middle of our recap. It's no big deal. But, yeah, that's huge. The Guns actually winning a match. It's the first match they've won in, what, almost a year?
No idea.
But we interrupted you, sir.
Okay, sure. 1 second.
Oh, there it is.
After the match, Kurt Angle basically destroys everybody, including Shelley, Sabin, and Dutt. And Angle basically says no one gets a big win over him and leaves. With the help of Foley, Jarrett may have won the battle, but he didn't win the war. Basically says if he's a champion and all that sort of stuff, he says the blood's going to be on Jarrett's hands. Sting comes into the ring and basically says that Joe would bitten off more than he could chew, but the person who was friends was AJ Styles with Joe, and basically AJ and Sting have a pull-apart brawl, which was pretty cool, if you ask me. And Kurt, then in the back, you get Kurt Angle beating up Curry Man, Shark Boy, and then Booker T, and has an interview with Jeremy Borash, and then Booker T beats Hernandez, and then next week they're going to find out what's in the briefcase, you know?
And the IRS's what, paperwork.
Pretty much. And then Lance Rock and Jimmy Rave are beat up by Angle. Christy is begging for mercy, looking again like a wuss. Lauren basically goes with Roxy, and Roxy basically curses a lot, and, you know, she needs to have her mouth washed out with soap. And then Lauren and Christy Hemme get in, and then Aunt Christie and is stopped by Angelina Love and Velvet Sky and Kip James. And they basically, they beat Christie up after saying that the HD is going to bring out all her wrinkles. And then Kurt Angle beats up Dave Penzer. And then Jeff Jarrett basically comes out and says he's done, but basically, and then Kurt Angle says, we're going to, I'm going to have Uncle Kurt come over for a visit with your kids, right?
Ooh.
And then
creepy.
There you go. And then Mick Foley comes out and does his retirement speech for the 55th time, right? He and Terry Funk can do it.
I was going to say, isn't one of Foley's idols Terry Funk? He's got to retire for another 10 years.
Yeah, consequences queen Jay Lethal, some of the referees shake his hand, AJ Styles hugs Foley, and basically Jarrett talks to Foley. Roxy Laveau defeats Raisha Saeed, a.k.a. Chalene Melissa, and then Kong basically beats up Roxy. Lauren interviews Matt Morgan.
This is after Cornette made the match for right?
Right. Hold on. I'm sorry. Kevin Nash versus Consequences Creed. Oh, good God. Nash basically squashes Creed. Nice job, guys. And then basically Nash does his usual, I'm better than you, I'm 75 years old, but I can still get checked deal.
And I'm 75 years old, I still kick ass, look at my awesome Undertaker-style tattoos.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still tearing my quad every fucking week.
Yeah. Lauren's with 3D. Mick Foley talks about the serious meeting with Jaren. Kurt Angle and Matt Morgan with the main event. Kurt Angle beats Matt Morgan. Angle fights out Morgan. Abyss comes out and attacks Angle, but then he punches Abyss in the head and he puts Angle in the back lot. And then Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley says that he's going to make a declaration that will shake the foundation of the business next week in Vegas, and we go to credits. I just hate the writing on TNA. I really do. I really, really do.
And there's too much. To the back! To the back with JB! To the back with Lauren! They just cut away so often. There's like you never get any resolution in the whatever's going on in the ring, and then suddenly you're just going right to the back.
Okay.
Well, that's because Russo likes short attention span TV, alias Crash TV, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm very interested to see how they do the live show next week. Oh,
yeah.
By the way, the live show has the following matches for those who care. Taylor Wilde is going to fight Awesome Kong, hopefully taking the belt. There's going to be a hardcore rematch. The Hard Rock Hardcore rematch with LAX, Beer Money, Team 3D, and Abyss and Matt Morgan. Am I correct?
I wouldn't be surprised. That would rock.
Let me just make sure what that is, just to be sure. We run through the card for next week's Impact. Oh, great. Okay. We also have, I believe, Sheikh Abdul-Bashir versus Jay Lethal for the title.
For the title.
And in the main event tag, it's going to be Kevin Nash and Sting versus Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. Interesting. In HD. Then we go to the final one, and actually we could slow this down a little bit because we have SmackDown. We could either talk about it slow or talk about it fast and talk about whatever we want for the next 20 minutes or so. So let me go to it, if you don't mind.
I've got them too. So
go for it, Nikki. All on you.
Okay. Just real quick, dark match. They got Ricky Ortiz out of the way and let him beat up Gavin Spears. So, get them out of the way. Let's see, SmackDown. Big Show's introduced. He walks out there with Chavo. I didn't see Chavo walking out there when I was watching it tonight.
I saw it.
I saw it.
Yeah, I didn't realize Chavo was with him until he was in the ring at about halfway through his promo. He made fun of Undertaker, and he said, well, you know, if we're gonna have a match at Cyber Sunday, here are your choices for stips. Last man standing, I quit, and a knockout match. He proceeds to demonstrate all three styles on three random jobbers, one of which would be carted out on a stretcher.
Yeah, they made their $500.
Hey, it's, you know,
the last guy looks like a perfect cross. I mean, a perfect cross between Colin Delaney and Stevie Richards.
I'll give you that. I will give you that. Oh, and when he came out, we got a pop-up video from Gregory Helms.
Did he say Christy Hemme's ugly spots will be in HD?
No, he had a great line. He said, hey, did you see what happened to the first two guys? Just saying.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, Lamb Chop, did you see what happened to the other two guys? I'm just saying.
Right.
Let's see. Los Colones retain their titles against the Clones. I mean, Hawkins and Ryder. Pretty much by the numbers. I mean, you know, good match. Not, you know, nothing. You know, absolutely mind blowing. I love watching Primo. Primo is on springs. He's just so happy to be there, and I hope that enthusiasm starts to rub off on Carlito. Let's see. MVP gets a chance to talk about being U.S. when he was U.S. champion. He was going to do what Shelton can't do, and he was going to go out and beat up R-Truth. Ha, 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 ha.
Right.
MVP, the promo was good, but
yeah,
MVP forgot that he was walking into a who's getting a push match.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get what I was saying, but that's what Shelton can't do.
And also because, remember, they're doing this bit where if he gets one more win, this very expensive bonus clause goes into effect. You know, and I'm sorry, I think MVP really needs to get the fuck out of that where, because he's the most underutilized guy there and needs to get on Raw big time. Sorry, he does.
I'd like to see it, but I'd like to see it come up as a trade because he's a really good upper mid-carder, and there's a couple of guys on Raw that probably would fit better on Friday nights.
Yeah, like Randy Orton. Well, he wouldn't fit any.
I was going to say, if internet heat still existed, let's see. This says that the Big Show Great Khali promo was in the ring.
No, it was in the office.
I was going to say it was in the office because we had a whole bunch of visitors.
Yeah.
Vicky Guerrero was grumbling and whining.
Right.
And she just had a bunch of random visitors because Maryse came by and was complaining that she was going to be in the Divas Fuzzy Dice on a Pole match, which was going to be a number one contenders match for the Butterfly Belt.
Like,
but I've already beaten Michelle.
A fail match for a fail belt.
Which is a shame. Anyway, after a bunch of random visitors, the last one that comes in is a Great Khali. And Vicky tries to butter him up and then tells him that he has to fight The Undertaker. Khali, which you could take this one, you could take this either way. If Khali was a heel, he's backing off because he's fought Undertaker in the past and knows what's going to happen to him and doesn't want to look bad. If he's a face, he's like, I'm not here to do your bidding.
We'll get to that in a minute. Go on.
So, however, tell them you're going to do it.
And delete sound effects again.
Seidelman reports that he is on at least a 15-second delay.
Oh, well. That's fine. It makes more sense this way.
And that fail was for the sake, was actually aimed at the Fuzzy Dice on a Pole match, but it fits here too.
Yes, it does.
Let's see. Oh, everybody's favorite new wrestler on SmackDown, the Brian Kendrick.
Yes.
Comes astriding out with Ezekiel Jackson dressed ready to wrestle.
That's a big boy, baby. That's a
scary, scary sight.
And Super Crazy became the Mexican flat pancake, pretty much.
My notes said he was traded to ECW. I need to smack somebody in creative anyway.
yeah.
Let's see. So, Undertaker, Kali, pretty much what you'd expect from him. Big Show decided to come out and
it was Big
try
Show
to do
Undertaker,
some damage.
By
not,
the way.
Huh?
It was Big Show Undertaker, not Big Show Kali.
I'm sorry. Undertaker Kali.
Undertaker
Kali gets a little bit of schmoz when Big Show decides to come out. Match gets thrown out. Show grabs a chair and says, "Hey, dumbass, you kill Taker with the chair." Kali looks at him like no. Walks over, slaps the chair out of his hand and leaves.
Face
Big Show gets
worried,
like, "Where the hell are you going?" and walks right past the zombie sit up.
Yeah, you never walk past Undertaker when he's lying on his back and his arms are at his side, because once you're behind him, up!
And Rob, whenever you get a chance, the fail signal would be good, because, yes, the space-time continuum of wrestling facedom is about to happen. Vince is trying to turn Kali face. It's just nuts.
And in some ways, it's working, and it scares me.
Yeah, it is.
That's the bad part.
Fuzzy Dice in a Pole match was quick, and Maria, pretty Maria, pulls the Fuzzy Dice down.
Oh, you know what, though? This was just like, okay. It was sort of like, I heard the conga music in the background. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Go up. You know, go up there. Pull down. Go up. Pull down. Go up. Pull down. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? It worked for the Kali Big Show segment, but, you know, worked for this, too.
A last track would work for this one, too, also.
Yeah, this is just great. This is just a cluster F, but I love this. Anyway.
Let me get my weekly lame joke out of the way first. After seeing that magazine a few months ago, it's the first time I can use Maria and Fuzzy in the same sentence. Get ready for whatever sound effect you want, suddenly.
Wow. You know what? I think that's a win. That's a win for me.
I think that's an angle.
Oh, an angle?
Yes. I agree on the angle.
Yeah, let's hope we can get the angle one up. So, but yeah, it was all right. It wasn't really a good match.
I'm all right with that. Okay, now for the grudge match that everybody had been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse and Festus versus Kenny Dykstra, and this is Brian Kendrick. No, it was Ryan Braddock.
So,
Kenny Dykstra and Ryan Braddock had to get biscuits and gravy back for wrapping them in bubble wrap and duct tape and shipping them to another network.
Don't people pay people like $150? Oh my goodness.
Oh, the show has finally just fallen off the track.
Oh, kaboom. Oh, there's collateral damage all over the place.
Got to have Rob here. It is.
I fell off my couch.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm not far behind you, man. Oh, my Lord.
God bless you, Rob. That was beautiful.
Not here, but it's damn funny when you have those sound effects at random.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
so,
now if I remember correctly,
my joke before the screw your boobs bit was, don't people actually pay like $150 an hour sometimes to get wrapped in bubble wrap and all that sort of stuff?
They probably got paid $500 for the afternoon for that one, so.
Yeah, well, you know, because Biscuits and Gravy actually won.
Yes, they did.
And afterwards, in a sort of lane, or was the lane segment with Biscuits and Gravy right after, or? What the heck?
What? That's a new one.
That one I will require an explanation later. Oh, you're talking about how Festus is still very enamored with Dear Dear Maria and gave her a flower.
Oh, it was so cute and so sweet and so Gilbert Grape.
Oh, come on. I mean, it's Beauty and the Beast. They've been touching on this here and there, and I think it's going to be hilarious at some point where Jesse's going to have to coax Festus down from some segment from the upper levels because he's got Maria up on his shoulders, and he's fighting off jobbers. Oh, wait. Deja vu.
Oh, wow. No, but here's the funny thing. Who's the dumber one?
Festus at this point.
And I love Maria, don't get me wrong, but my favorite bit from hers, you remember the trial of Eric Bischoff? Anyone remember that?
I do.
And you remember that scene where, you know, all of a sudden she rattled off this intelligent, wonderfully beautiful speech, and I was like, whoa, nice! she had comedic timing, of course, creative kind of kill that. Anyway, and boy, what is CM Punk missing from that? She goes from CM Punk to Festus. God help us.
Let's see. And now our main event. Triple H, alias the evil Dr. Levesque, grabs a seat at the announce table so that he may scout his opponents for Cyber Sunday, because there's a pretty good chance it's going to turn into a triple threat. I really think that.
I think we just in the last 5 minutes, I think we should go over the matches and what we think is going to be, if that's all right.
Well, we still got another week before Cyber Sunday, or do you want to?
Not pick'ems. I'm thinking what the stips are going to be. Oh, is that sort of like? Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. It's probably going to. I get what you're saying. All right, never mind.
Yeah. Kozlov, of course, was going to kill Jeff Hardy. We've got to keep, you know, Kozlov looking strong.
And
Jeff still looked fairly strong in this match.
Yeah, he did. And Oleg Proteus is a legit badass, man. He's legit.
Oh, yeah. And I thought the show was very positive. I mean, there, you know, we did have our goofy crap with Jesse and Festus and the Divas, but we're getting, you know, the B card, the B belt's moving along nicely. We're actually seeing the SmackDown tag belts, something you won't see on Raw. You won't see their tag belts defended anywhere. Priceless is too busy modeling them. But, you know, overall, we haven't had too bad of a week of wrestling.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, looking forward to necessarily next week, the big events we have, honestly speaking, we start with tomorrow night with the debut, unfortunately, of Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling.
I predict a .9 rating.
Okay.
I'll take the
under on that, too. I think this is going to be a bomb. I really do.
Most of that .9 are going to be Brian Knobbs fans.
All five of them.
And basically, on WWE this coming week, we have the push towards Cyber Sunday, maybe with another match or two added on. But you've got the Batista Jericho on Raw, pretty much pushed. The interesting potential tag matches. You know, you get Kane, Rey Mysterio, and you're going to have on ECW probably Mark Henry versus, you've got Mark Henry, Finlay and Evan Bourne. If I were booking, I would put them in a three-way match.
That's normally what happens at the week before Cyber Sunday. The three guys that are going in for a world title match can put in a match.
Yep.
And then hit the schmoz button real quick.
And then on TNA, we have the first HD broadcast this coming Thursday, live from the Hard Rock in Vegas. And it's a legit sellout from the joint at the Hard Rock, so good for them. And, you know, they need legit sellouts, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
And then on SmackDown, which is going to be taped, I believe, this coming Tuesday, the main event is The Undertaker versus Triple H, which I think is, we all know, this is going to end up in a schmoz. That's not going to happen because hopefully that'll be for the WrestleMania build.
I was going to say, I'm having trouble believing they would give a match like this away. What goes wrong?
Everybody's going to get involved, and then a week from this coming Sunday is Cyber Sunday, which is what we're all looking for. And I believe next week, according to Rob, if he's listening, I believe next week is going to be a two-hour show.
Around the horn with another edition of
the Wrestling Around the Horn, and our pick'ems for Cyber Sunday and the review of this coming week's wrestling push towards Cyber Sunday and the debut of TNA on HD, pretty much.
Yep. Now, I'm going to sneak in here and tell and talk about my little 72-hour run brush with wrestling higher-ups.
Well, you got about 3 minutes to do it, so let's go for it.
I can do it in three.
All right.
Blog Talk Radio also hosts RVD Radio, and he airs on Wednesday nights. This past Wednesday was his second show, and he was talking about various things and apologizing to everybody because he didn't know how to run the switchboard. I got into the show about a half an hour in and was flattered that not only did he remember me, but he introduced me to the radio faithful that were listening that night.
Very cool.
And we got to sit and discuss addiction versus habit. And did a little talk about censorship, the seven dirty words, and why you don't cuss in front of kids.
You don't. You're not supposed to.
Now, 2 days later, I'm in Cincinnati working with PT Wrestling, which is overseen by Jimmy Wang Yang. I had received a MySpace mail from him a couple of days ago saying that he had found an announcer who lived closer to the facility and would rather use him. And I thought, oh, so you don't want me to come down? He said, no, I want you to come down and manage. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, my MySpace page will show you my managerial debut in PT Wrestling with the monster that I am managing, Russ Jones. This will also include an opening promo, which was 3 minutes. So you will enjoy every little bit of that once I get my hands on it. And Chad, if you're listening, send it to me soon. How's that? I bet we got 30 seconds.
I think I don't know how long do we have actually.
We've got probably just under 2 minutes.
Under 2 minutes. So okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Sure.
All right. During SmackDown, there was a promo for local promo up here. November 25th in Albany, there's going to be a SmackDown taping. Main event is a casket match between Big Show and Undertaker. Is this worth it?
I'd say so.
Yeah, definitely.
Special stipulation matches, try to get to that show.
Exactly. I mean, that's going to be a big casket no matter who gets in it. And let me tell you something, though, not for nothing, I really think this is Undertaker's last run. He's looking really bad right now.
He's feeling really bad. His knees are really bugging him. I know his hip's about ready to go. Deadman, I'd rather see you hang it up at Survivor Series than at WrestleMania 25, but I think you're going to try to stretch it that far.
I think he's good. I think Now, one quick question in the last minute. Does Triple H, if the rumor is true, break the streak, or does he go undefeated?
Taker needs to go out undefeated. It does nothing for Triple H. It really doesn't.
I hope Taker goes out on top, and if Triple H does end the streak, be careful, because MVP's got a flathead now. No one got that. Never mind.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That'll pretty much do it. So, Nikki, head us out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the North American Wrestling Connection. We'll be back next week, and so will Seidelman. He promises. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Night.